Hey everyone, this is Craig Underwood here. I just wanted to welcome you to episode 4 of my podcast. My goal is to help encourage you to live a hope-filled life. So for episode 4, I actually wanted to talk to you about margin, how to get it, how to manage it, and how it impacts every aspect of life. So without further ado, let's get started.
You're listening to another Craig Underwood podcast.
So to start off this episode, I want to take us on a bit of a journey. So can you remember back to primary school? If you can actually go back to primary school for some of us, am I right? A while ago now. But anyway, back in primary school, do you remember something that the teacher would say to us when we had the exercise book open, ready to go for the start of whatever we needed to use the exercise book for, whatever topic we were learning for that day? We would get a ruler and we would get a red pen, and the teacher would ask us to rule off a margin. And that was at the left-hand side of the page. And so every page that we would write in our exercise book or on the piece of paper, the A4 paper that we would have, the lined paper, we would rule off this margin. Have you ever thought why the teacher ever wanted us to do that? Well, the teacher actually got us to rule that margin off because they wanted a space on each page to be able to write their notes when they would review what we had written, and the questions and the answers that we had given on the topics. And they wanted to have that space to be able to review, to ask us questions about what we were saying, to, you know, or they would circle things and they would write in the margin or expand further, or they would say, you know, question marks about, you know, are you sure this is the right way that you're going? They would write their other comments and stuff in that margin. And the reason why they did that was because we learned pretty quickly when we were students that we don't have all the answers. And that the teacher, their feedback, when they would give us the question or the topic that they wanted us to talk about or write about, their feedback would be vital and helpful for us for the next time that we would go and do another topic or another question about our thoughts, you know, in the future. You see, the margin actually created a space for the teacher to review what we were writing about, what we were talking about. And why would you think that review is important? Well, reviewing our work helped us to grow and to develop and to learn, which is the whole purpose of education, to learn. So margin, when you were in primary school, was very important because you were able to understand, or it would help you to develop your critical thinking skills. It would help you to develop, you know, where to grow and develop and learn for the future. So I'm going to fast forward a bit from primary school, and I'm going to go to when I started work at the post office. I had finished high school and I had started going to uni, and I found out pretty quickly with university, travelling from where I was living up in the hills to the campus in Joondalup was quite a fair trip, and the bus service at the time wasn't the best bus service to take. If you missed a bus, you were 2 hours until the next bus came. That was how bad it was. Sometimes, that's how, from my memory anyway. And then there was a train, and then you would have to catch the train in to town, and then you'd have to get the other train to go up to. And it was a pain just travelling public transport. So I needed to get a car. So I got a car, and but once I got the car, I needed to pay for the fuel. My parents weren't going to be involved in helping with that. I had to learn my own way. So I had to get jobs to be able to pay for the fuel in the car, for my clothes, if I wanted to buy clothes, my textbooks, all that sort of thing. So I worked part-time jobs here and there in hospitality, But I landed this job, which was this fantastic job working at the post office, and it was post office in town. And it was full time, but the time that it was in the afternoons. It was, from memory, it was 3 o'clock till 9 o'clock, which was great because I had most of the day to be able to spend at uni doing uni work. And then I would be able to go from uni down to the post office and then start work. And I would do my 6 hour shift from 3 o'clock till 9 o'clock. Now, back then, I didn't really have much of a margin in my life, to be honest. I would drive from work and I would go from work to parties and events and things that were happening with my friends. I would want to catch up with them after work, and you know, things would happen. I would feel really like I was missing out sometimes. And so I would finish work at 9 and then I'd rush there to get the end of the party or whatever I was. At the same time, obviously, I would have to find time to study. I was driving from Kalamunda to Joondalup, which was quite a long trek, and then from there back into town and then from town home. So there was a lot of driving that was involved. In the process there somewhere I had to eat, because you got to eat to keep going. So one of the things that was completely missing in my life was rest. My attitude was, why do I need to sleep? Sleep's boring. You sleep when you're dead. I'm young. I can get away with not sleeping much. And so I somehow managed to be able to get by with not much sleep, but you know, I'd be up and then I'd be up and then gone and stuff. So, you know, maybe 5-6 hours sleep and then I was up and away. Well, to cut a long story short, I was dating Melanie, my wife at the time, at that stage as well, which was fantastic. I would come from work and I would spend time with Mel after work, and then it got to about 1 o'clock in the morning, and you know, we'd have to prise each other away, and then I'd have to drive home, and then I'd have my 4 hours sleep before I would get up to be able to, you know, get ready to go back to uni for the next day. And so it was just this process where I was finding that I wasn't getting much sleep and I wanted to spend every night with Mel or with friends, that sort of thing. And then an opportunity came up at work for a job which was a second shift, and at the time I think it was after uni had finished, and so it would have been around maybe this time, so like November, end of November, December, and Christmas coming up, and I thought, yep, great, I'm going to take the second shift. Now, the first shift that I was working, which was the sorting of the business mail, the little red pillars, which are the mailboxes that the people would put the mail in, and also the business mail, would be all collected by the guys, by the couriers, and they'll be dropped off to the sorting place in Perth, and I would go through and sort out the mail. And so that was from 3 o'clock till 9 o'clock, and then the trucks would take all those sorted mail to the sorting centre to be able to process the mail and send it on its way. But the second shift that I was given was a shift which was the parcel shift. The parcels were from 3 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock, and so what you would do is you would go in, and then all of the mail, the parcels that would be distributed throughout that particular section, which was from Perth, from the courier drivers, you would, the mail would come through the mail centre, which is near the airport, and they would come by truck in these things. And so what we'd do is then we'd sort the parcels out into to the areas where the couriers would their routes where they would drive. So we actually knew the parcel was this street, it would go to this particular driver on this route. So you would just basically sort that out. So the driver would pull up in their van and they would have all their things ready to go on a shelf and they would just take all the parcels. So it was quite smooth. But the parcel shift was from 3 a.m. to 9 a.m. The same time I was also working from the 3 o'clock in the afternoon till the 9 o'clock shift. So I was split shifts. I found that when I was doing that I could go with the minimal sleep, trying to spend much time with Mel. Lucky I wasn't studying at the time, but I was doing this split shift thing and there was all the other stuff that was going on in my life. And I found that I didn't have any margin. And after about 4 weeks, I crashed. I burnt out. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Just, I had to quit. I had to quit that second shift. And the reason why is because I didn't have any margin in my life. didn't have any space. It was like life was a blur. There was no room to review what was going on. There was no space for rest. There was no space for margin. And so I was doing what really us as human beings are designed not to do. We've been designed to rest. In fact, there's a reason why we need at least 8 hours sleep a night, and that's for our body to heal, to repair, to process. And that's what margin is really good for. It's the good for to revive, to rest, to heal, to refuel, to process what's happened that day before, so that we can grow and learn and develop. Because it's so important in life that you have that margin in your life. We're designed to have that margin in our life so that we can learn and grow and develop. You can't go 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. If you try to do that, it affects everything. You can do it for a little spurt, but without that margin, you just crash. And it's funny because I'm a Christian, and the very first book of the Bible, if when you open the Bible and you go to the very first part, there's a chapter of the book of Genesis, and it talks about how God created the heavens and the earth. It's an amazing story. And in 7 days, God worked. In 6 days, God worked. And on the seventh day, he rested. Now, if God rested on the seventh day, and he's God, how much more important is us who have been designed by God to also keep that same pattern in our life and actually have that margin in our life? So one of the areas that for me, and it goes against what my personality was at the time, was I was one of these people who I like spontaneity. I like, you know, just being able to make a decision and just go and do it. But I found that putting boundaries in your life, ruling off a boundary, the margin, and saying, this is what I need in order to continue and stay on the path that I'm doing, where I'm healthy, I'm happy, I've got no anxiety or stress levels, I'm not burnt out, tired. You need to do it. You need to have that boundary. It might be, I thought at the time, I'm boring, you know, I wanted to do boundaries. But when I did it, it just completely affected everything and it changed everything. So some of the margins that I put into my life, some of the boundaries, was I made a decision that I would never take on a job or work on a Sunday. And in fact, if a job said I had to work on a Sunday, I would use the, I'm for religious reasons, I'm not going to work on a Sunday, because Sunday is God's day. Now that obviously didn't happen when I was a pastor, because Sunday is kind of the busiest day of the week. You're working on a Sunday. But then I would go, okay, I would choose another day of the week and I would call that my Sabbath day or my rest day. And I wouldn't do any ministry or any work on that day. So whether it was a Friday or a Monday or something, I would choose one day of the week and I would say I would not work on that day. And the other thing that I did was I spaced out my study. I was trying to get it done in 3 years and it was just full on chaotic and hectic. So I spaced it out and went to part-time and spread out my degree from trying to do it 3 years to 6 years. And I still graduated. I still have got my university degree. But because I spaced it out and I put that boundary and that margin in my life, I was in a much better place with my health. I had more time and more energy to spend with Mel and with friends and family. I was less grumpy and irritable. There was less stress and anxiety. That was reduced dramatically in my life. My health was great. I don't think I ever really got sick. I don't think I ever got a cold or a flu in that time either. I can't remember that, but that's from what I can remember. I was in a good place financially as well, because I was working those 6 hour shifts and I was doing that. So I had money for the car, I had money for the textbooks, I had some money to take Melanie out on dates, I had money for clothes, all that sort of thing. And I found myself in a situation where as I put that margin in my life and ruled off and put that boundary in my life, that my life, it affected everything and it just changed it for the better. So some boundaries that I put in place was I decided that I needed a minimum of 8 hours sleep. So that was it. So if I could get 8 hours sleep a night, if that was, I would block that off. That was a non-negotiable for me. If I had any less sleep than that, I knew how it affected me in the morning, and so I wouldn't do it. 8 hours sleep. The second thing was that I decided that I would not try and do this split shift thing again, even if the money was like woohoo awesome. I would say no, because I knew that my energy levels, it affected my energy levels, it affected my health how it did before. Also with my study routines, I actually realized that with me, I'm at my best in the morning. I get up, I'm excited, I get food in the belly, have the coffee, and then I'm ready to go. And then by about 2 o'clock, I have this kind of this lull where I just need a break and a rest. And then I kick off again after that. And then at night, if we're doing stuff, I can do night. But then usually by about 8 or 9 o'clock at night, my body is naturally winding down, ready to go to bed. So I'm not a night owl at all. I'm actually really my best in the morning. So my study routines and the things that I would do, if I had lectures, I would try to do the morning's lectures if we had a choice. Obviously, sometimes you didn't have a choice with the uni schedule, but as the best as I could. And my study routines, study first thing in the morning. And I've even continued that to this day. When I've got up and I need something to do, if I've been having to study for a topic that I'm preaching on for church, I found that if I would get up first thing in the morning and I would go somewhere by myself, and just I found that my best time to study was first thing in the morning. I'd make sure that I wasn't out too late at weeknights. And also I put a boundary where I wouldn't be out every night of the week. I would try and make it so that I was out for maybe a Friday and Saturday only, sometimes a Wednesday, but only those nights. And because I put those boundaries in my life and ruled that margin in my life, life worked really well. So margin is actually very, very important. Another area that I have been able to implement margin into my life is in the area of my finances. One of the things that Melanie and I want to do is plant a church. And so we were able to get our hands on some really great resources from a church in America that is a church planting church called Church of the Highlands. Chris Hodges is just such a great guy. Anyway, he did a teaching at their Grow conference, and I managed to grab the topics about that. One of the things he talks about is the area of margin and how they budget for 90% of their income. So they put 10% aside, put it away, and then with the rest, the 90%, they use that to be able to budget from that. And they found that they set that margin in their finances, that they never ever had that problem of we don't have enough money, because they always had that money in that account. And it, look, when things would come up, like an event would come up where, oh no, there's an added expense, they would go into that margin and grab it out. But that was what the margin was for. It was setting that space to be able to go, okay, we won't even think about that until we need it. And it was almost like it was setting up like an emergency fund, I think if you would call it. So that was how that I thought that would be a really good idea for church, if we set aside 10% and that we would budget off the 90%. And then with that 10%, you know, even if we don't use it, then that could go into, say, hey, we want to expand our facility, or we want to start this new ministry. We want to put on another staff member. We've got the money put aside for that. We can use that to do that. And so it was almost like an enforced savings. So we thought, hey, let's see if what we can do with our finances, if we could try that. So the last thing with that, with our finances, before I finish talking with you today, is we have done a thing where we've always done, since we've been Christians and married, is that we made a decision as a couple that we would take 10% of our income and it would automatically go to the church that we called home. So we would set up a direct deposit if that was possible. Otherwise, we would put that in an envelope and we'd take it to church and stick it in the offering bag. But that money was like automatic. We didn't even think about it. And we would budget off that 90%. So with the budget also, we found that even in that, with that 90%, what we would do is we would tithe that 10% and that would go to church. And that was our belief with finances, because we really believe that the source of all our provision comes from God. God gives us our health. God gives us our skills and our talents and our abilities, and we use those in order to go to work and create an income. So God is our provider, even with the skills and the abilities to learn, and our, you know, our minds and our talents and all that sort of thing, as well as the finances that come in. It's God's finances, it's not our finances. And He has the 10% and He gives us the 90% to steward in our life. And so what we did as well is that we thought, okay, 10% goes to church because God's our provider. He's our source. We trust in Him. Then we actually set off another 10%, and we called it our margin, and we put that aside. And so effectively we were budgeting off that 80%. Now, another thing that we did as well, when we made the decision to come back to Perth, because God called us to come back to church, to Perth and plant a church, we also set aside another 10% off that 100%. So we had 10% for the tithe, 10% we put aside for a margin, which we put into a, what we call our emergency fund. And then the other 10% we put aside as the church plant account. And we would put that in there. And the idea is that when we plant our church, the money from that would go into, would open up a bank account, and that would be in the church's name, and that money would be transferred into that. And that would be the margin that would start off, so that the church would be in a good place financially from the get-go. And that's the decision that we made. But as we were putting the margins in our finances, God started providing us with income for work. And we found that the work, even if we were unemployed for a moment, God, there was always a job around the corner. There was always an opportunity, and we would take that opportunity. And we found ourselves in a situation where we were in a pretty good place financially. And the only reason why we can say that we do that is because we have put this principle of margin into our life, with our sleep patterns, with our how many nights we're out a week, with the way that we study, when we're at our best times, our work, putting that margin in that space. It actually helps us to grow and develop as people. It helps us and encourages us to look at, review, and learn about how we can get better. It's created that space. And also we've been able to use that money that we've saved to be able to do things for our future and set us up financially for our future. So margin, I believe, is really important in our life. And it might not sound like it's really exciting, but it's something that we actually really need in order to get ahead and be able to learn and grow and develop and review our life. We have that space. One of the things that I've read just recently that I want to maybe implement is there's a 2-2-2 rule that some couples have organized, and that is basically that every 2 weeks they take 2 hours off to evaluate the relationship and have this date where they can just talk about, okay, how are things going, are things good, what we need to work on. That every 2 months they take a day, and every 2 years they take a week. And in those times what they do is that the couple goes away and they set their goals, and they plan, and they pray to each with each other, and they work out the future. They actually create that space to be able to review, to ask questions, to make notes and comments about how things are going, in order to learn and develop and grow together closer as a couple. And that's another way that you can use margin. So anyway, margin's really important, and I hope that some of those points that I've shared today will help maybe kick off some ideas that you might have about implementing more margin and boundaries into your life. Hey everyone, Craig here again. I just wanted to thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen to this podcast. I do understand that time is a very valuable resource, and taking 20 minutes or so out of your day to listen to this, I really do appreciate it. Thanks so much. If you got something out of this podcast, why don't you click on that subscribe? My goal is that I'll be releasing a new episode every week, and that will go for as long as I believe it's making an an impact in people's lives. So if this is actually, you're getting something out of this, hey, why don't you click on that subscribe, and then when it's released and published, you'll get it straight away. So until then, stay safe, and I'll look forward to catching with you next time.